Welcome everyone to the Friends That Carry On podcast, where we dive deeper into our trips, unpack tips, and everything in between. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to go on a trip with your favourite group of friends.
Hello, and welcome to this week's podcast of Friends That Carry On. As you know, we're a group of friends who like to travel the world and the country and then share our experiences. Today, the friends in the house and online are Eric Fargo, Tony Price, Brian Romine, and calling in from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, we have Terry Hall.
Hey, everybody.
As you know, you can catch Friends of Carry On at our website, friendsofcarryon.com, and we're on all the various social media at Friends of Carry On as well. This week, we are going to the Greek island of Santorini. Which right now in this time of COVID, I couldn't think of a better place to be at right now. So I wish I was there right now. And actually, it was one year ago right now that we were there. So in some of my Facebook feeds and other things, Amazon photos, memories of 1 year ago are coming up with lots of beautiful pictures. So I guess in one sense, this is a timely podcast. So anyhow, we'll get started here. I wanted to get everyone's feel when you, because it is an island, and I know Tony, Eric, and I, we came by ferry. Terry, how did you arrive in Santorini?
We flew in from Athens, Jim.
Okay. Did you fly out also?
Well, originally we planned to go to Istanbul. This was back in 2014. It's actually almost 6 years for us, too. We went the first week of April, and we figured, well, we're over there in Istanbul. We're not that far from Greece. Let's just fly back home from Athens. So we started looking around from Athens to see which island we want to visit. We had time for a couple days in Athens and about 3 days in an island. So Santorini was what we decided.
Okay.
Nice. We flew in. Long story short, we didn't fly.
So what you're saying is you flew.
Came in by sky. Well, what I wanted to, I know as we all came in by ferry, and of course the ferry rides through the islands were beautiful. I mean, we were in the agency. It was a sunny day, which it is most of the time in Greece. But I wanted to see what the guy's take was as we first approached the island. What caught your eye? What was your impression? What was that first take as we approached?
Oh, I loved the whole time was just the gorgeous water. But coming into Santorini, you come in to all the cliffs, you know, just the whole cliffside and the top, and just seeing those beautiful blue, you know, domed buildings and all the picturesque things you see on postcards and all the movies and things you've seen, and for the first time, just kind of coming in at this nice slow pace on the ferry, it was pretty cool to watch.
How high are those cliffs? Any idea?
Well, 1,200 feet.
1,200 feet.
Yeah, because what struck me was, you know, Santorini wasn't the first one. We stopped off at a couple other islands. Mm-hmm. We picked people up. We dropped people off. And as you're approaching those islands, you approach those islands before we approach Santorini. Mm-hmm. And you notice all the building only happens in the top third of the island, the very top of it. And you're thinking, wow, the work that must have gone into building these must have, you know, how old are they, the Greek islands? When were they developed?
Developed or it just existed?
Yeah. Well, everything, right? You remember, everything's on the very top of the tip top.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Well, like Santorini's a volcanic island, so so it was created from a volcano, but the...
like 1620 BCE or something like that?
Well, because, I mean, there's the town that they're excavating in Akatiri. Sorry about that. I think it goes back to 5,000 BC. Yeah. So the
It was 2,000 years before they said before Pompeii.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, it was kind of neat to when you came in to see that only the developed part of the island was the very tip top of the island.
So, right. Well, along those lines, what struck me obviously the water, like Tony said, the beautiful blue skies, but then like as you're a little further away, it almost looks like a snow-capped mm-hmm. mountain as you're approaching, because it's all white at the top, and then you got the dark mountains below. So it's sort of like, well, like a snow-capped mountain where it snowed on top. But as you get closer, you realize those are the dwellings. So just like Eric said, it's the dwellings are up top, and obviously you're on a cliff, and I guess you have to get to the part that you can actually build on. But they are all white and bright white. So it really does look like snow as you're approaching it. But then when you get closer, you see what it is. It's still kind of breathtaking as you come in. That contrasted with the bright blue skies.
So do they have ordinances there as far as restrictions on the types of buildings, the height of buildings? Any idea? I mean, they
would venture to say they do.
I can't. Well, I don't know. I just know not many went over two or three stories, it seems.
Right. So there weren't skyscrapers.
No, not at all.
I bet they do have something like that, Brian. That's how do you keep it like that over all these years if you don't, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Require it. I don't.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it is because of the resources there. Mm. There's not much there to build with, besides rock, and a lot of these houses originally were caves. The local fishermen, you dug holes in the walls to make your cave house. And over the years, they've evolved into the house as you see today.
Another couple months of this, and I might be doing the same in Shepherdstown.
Right. Well, and add on top of that, the Greece economy has not been exactly thriving over the last decade. And one of the things that stood out once we actually got up on the island, you had a lot of concrete structures that had started. So they had the floors and the stairs and all. But they were just shells, and you know, because the economy bombed out and hadn't come back, you just saw all these starts all over the place but never finished. So even if they had, at least in recent years, thought about bigger commercial development, it just wouldn't happen economic-wise, and it probably can't, just like Terry said, the resources aren't great. And it's kind of built out on the top parts, like in Fira and Ia. It's pretty crowded through there, so there's only so much space on a 3-mile island. So
that place was beautiful, then, wasn't it?
Yeah,
oh my God.
Absolutely gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And then obviously we came in by ferry, and I was listening to another travel podcaster, Chris Christensen on the AmateurTravel.com, and I was listening to his Santorini episode as, you know, prepping for this and just sort of reminding myself same stuff. And he came in by ferry also. And I remember when we got off, I mean, it was a mad rush to find a cab or a shuttle or whatever to get yourself up there, because you're at the bottom of these 1,200-foot cliffs, and it's nothing but sway back rides all the way back up to the top of the thing. Of course, we'd never been there before. And he described it the exact same way, just a rush. And then whether you had tour buses or shuttle buses or cab drivers, the lanes were very narrow. The sway backs were, 90 degree, I guess you would say. and the drivers were just going by each other with inches to spare as they went by each other. But drove it like champs, like it was nothing was happening. So it was pretty interesting and pretty wild as we first got up there. But anyhow, I just thought it was interesting that he had the exact same experience we did going through there.
I wonder if he got almost dropped off at the wrong place like Eric did.
Well, I was about to bring that up. Eric, do you want to share that? We're all on the same shuttle bus. Eric was at a different hotel, and then Tony, myself, and our wives were going to a separate place. And we had told the guy, and of course he speaks Greek and I guess English, but whatever Eric told him, the guy pulls over. Well, you can take it from there, Eric.
Well, yeah, I was staying at a place called Hotel Lignos. I'm looking at the picture here because I took a picture of it. I always take a picture of where I'm staying in case I forget.
Need to show your driver where to go?
Well, that's not a good idea. Yeah, not my driver, but myself after I've been out all night. You understand? So I took a photo of it, and when we got in, I had showed him the address, and he looked at me kind of weird, like, and we didn't communicate right at that point, and I knew he didn't know where I was staying. I just knew it.
He just nodded his head. Yeah.
Yeah, he just nodded his head, and I could tell. I'm like, okay, we're going to get to my place, and we're going to have a problem. And that's exactly what happened, because he dropped me off at another place. I said, and I got out, And he told me this was the place. I'm like, no, I don't think it is. And then he started to take off. I ran back. I'm like, this isn't the place. I know
you,
it's not.
You
it.
Had actually crossed the street, yeah. A busy street.
Yeah.
Right. Eric's running across the road. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Right. And I'm like, I know this is it. I knew, it's just one of those feelings, one of those.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't right. And I wasn't. And I got back and we did finally find it. And I got dropped off at the correct place.
Yeah, so Tyrion, you came in from the airport. I was just going to say, from a listener standpoint, the other thing when you get off the ferry, and you're obviously probably going to one of the two villages of Ea or Thera. And so to Thera, I'd already looked up to say, which we typically do when we travel. It's like, what's a reasonable cab ride fare? Because, you're like fish in a net, right? Mm-hmm. At that point, they're everywhere. They're on you like stink on poo. I mean, And the first guy came up and was like, 50 euros. I was like, no. Just kept on walking. He was like chasing us down.
Oh, he was on you.
You got 20 yards deeper, it was 40 euros. Another 20 yards, it was 30 euros. I was like, what did I say, like 20?
Like something
20, like that, yeah. 20 for all five of us. And he was like, okay. And then he just like drug us like a half a mile away to get on that turkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a little bit of a hike. It's also probably why he dropped Eric off at the wrong place.
Yeah, that was pretty funny though.
Well, since that kind of segues into where we stayed that there, Terry, when you all were there, did you all stay at a hotel or did you Airbnb or what did you do?
We researched it, Jim, and we found a very cool little boutique hotel right on top of the that ridge that goes down the middle of the island.
Mm-hmm.
Where, one side overlooks the caldera, and the other side goes down to the other side of the island where there's no population.
Was this in Thera? Was this in Thera?
Yes, okay. Yes. So we stayed right on the caldera side of the cliffs.
Nice. I bet they have some great views.
Mm. Well, we flew in late at night, late being about 8 p.m. So it was dark when we flew in. Our hotel, the lady running the hotel picked us up at the airport, so we didn't have that hassle about picking up the taxi or anything. But when we got to the hotel, it was completely dark. Yeah, all we saw was a big emptiness out there somewhere. And we knew there was going to be a fantastic view. We just had to wait 12 hours to see it.
I bet it was awesome, though, wasn't it?
Now, do you remember the name of that boutique hotel?
Yes, it is the Theoxenia Hotel.
Nice.
If I'm pronouncing that right. But like I said, it's right on the caldera side. We woke up in the next morning. We opened the door and boom, there it was right in front of us. It was an amazing experience just waking up and seeing that.
If I'm mistaken, that's the one right towards the end where kind of like the street where you can drive ends, right? And then you start the walking part at the top?
Exactly, Tony. Yeah. It's about two blocks from that parking area.
Yeah.
And then you can walk on in.
That's where the donkeys come up.
Donkey trail.
And at this point, my check-in experience still isn't over.
Yeah.
There's more.
There always is with Eric.
I know, right?
I'll tell.
Before we're there, I'd like to just wrap up with Terry, though. So it sounds like everything was very centrally located there at that hotel.
Yes, Jim. We could walk up and down either way. In fact, we walked almost halfway around the island up to how do you pronounce it? Ea?
Yeah, we had that discussion before we started.
Ea.
Yeah.
Ea. We walked halfway to Ea, just along the perimeter there, along the edge of the island.
Nice. So the accommodations were good, and you would recommend that place?
Oh, yes, definitely. It was cheap enough. Given the time of year, it was very reasonable price. A very small hotel, but with great views on the rooftop. A terrace where they serve dinner or breakfast every morning.
Nice. Well, Eric, do you want to continue your check-in story or odyssey, especially since we're in Greece, your odyssey?
Yes, once I got dropped off at the correct place, I go to check in. Well, there's a sign that says, please go to such and such an address to check in. We
oh,
do
boy.
It. Right. So I've got all my bags. All this has just happened to me. Dropped me off almost the wrong place. I get dropped off the correct place. I go in, and I can't drop my bags. I've got bags. You know, these things are heavy.
Your driver knew this. It was all because Tony only was willing to pay him 20 euros.
Exactly right. So it goes back to Tony's fault. Thank you, Brian.
We were fine.
We had no problem.
He had to take it out on somebody.
So I had to walk. But wait a minute. I had to walk. So the one side of the road, there's a hill. The other side of the road, there's, you know, it's like Morgantown, West Virginia,
oh,
okay?
My. Yeah.
Right. So this hotel was at the bottom of a hill to check in. And when I got down there, I'm carrying all my bags, you know, and I'm like, how do we get back up to the, don't tell me we're walking. Oh, yeah, we're walking. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I've got to walk back up this hill to go check in the place that I first went to in the first place. So, sorry, Hotel Lignos, I wasn't real happy with you. But that's, you know, I didn't know that.
How was the hotel, though, once you got
well,
in?
Well, it was one of the, again, I went a little cheap on this route.
Okay, gotcha. Because
it was three nights. So, it was one of those where it had a bed and a bathroom, and the bathroom had just the, you know, the shower curtain that you pull around you and it always sticks to you when you shower. One of those places. But the bed worked. It let me sleep. So that's all that really mattered.
They cut the power off strategically throughout the day. I remember that. We walked in and we're like, oh, they turned the power off occasionally. Like, what?
But I was right in the heart of everything. I could walk out and be right on the main drag. And the main drag had a split off that went up the hill. And I was very close to all that. So, you know.
Good location.
Good location.
And what was the name of that again?
Hotel Lignos.
Lignos. Hotel Lignos. Right in the heart of things, but
L-I-G-N-O-S.
Maybe a bit on the budget side.
A bit on the budget side. If you want a budget, it's good for that.
That's right.
If you want a real shower, don't go there. Sorry.
Now, Tony and I and our wives went to a place called Astro Palace. What were your thoughts on that, Tony?
That place was awesome, I have to admit. When we walked in, you could just kind of tell when you go in. Certain places just really cater to people. And when they like immediately take your luggage off to the side, they don't want you touching it, which we had a similar experience in Mykonos earlier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they take you off to the side, get you drinks, put you on the couches, you're chilling, you're just relaxing. They're like, you stay there until we get you all checked in. And then they bring you up to like the little table and they bring out maps and they're like showing you exactly where you are, probably the places you're going to want to walk to and how you get there and who you need to call if you get lost and all this kind of stuff. You know, then they each get us a guy and takes us out to our places. And all of the rooms have their own private little pools. You know, it's one of those types of places. And
the view is awesome.
Yeah, it's just the place.
What was the name of this one again?
Astro Palace.
Yep.
Yeah. It was pretty spectacular.
It was. It was an incredible experience. On top of the individual pools, you had a normal big size pool with a poolside bar. They also had a big spa area. Mm-hmm. I think Teresa's the only one that took advantage of mm-hmm. it, but she got a full spa treatment. She said it was incredible. They took her in first and had the steam room. So got her, you know, so just totally fogged out, couldn't see anything in the room with so much steam in there. Then, you know, took her in to the bathhouse and chilled out there and got her really relaxed, then actually did the massage and just said it was the most incredible experience.
Yeah. I mean, along the pool they had, which a lot of these places have them, but the cabanas, like with the tented cabanas that you can pull and giant, basically beds. They're not lounge chairs, they're like full king size mattresses that you can. I mean, some people are really just flat out snoozing. Well, maybe they were hung over and passed out.
That was you?
No,
or
I wasn't.
Me.
But yeah,
maybe one
but,
day.
One morning. But yeah, and then they had a fantastic buffet in the morning too.
It really was. Yeah, I was going to mention that as well. I mean, most buffets you're just thinking of, you know, runny scrambled eggs and whatever meat, bacon. This thing was just immaculate. I mean, from poached eggs to all kinds of different fruit and various breads and just a great selection, very well laid out, very neat and tidy. It's probably not the best way to say it, but it was just a really nice spread.
Was it a large hotel? Any sense of how many rooms?
What was really unique about
40
it?
40 maybe?
Yeah, 40 it's so hard to say 40, because they
less
had
than 50.
Different buildings. So like the main building had some the non, I guess, private pool places. So that maybe had 30.
Yeah, more traditional hotel rooms.
And then you walked out the back, and there was a nice big pool and a pool bar. And then there were several, like, stations, you know, of groups of maybe 6 to 8 hotels, rooms, kind of
buildings together. With room, yeah.
Together. On a hillside.
On the hillside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was so impressed with it. I went back and booked it for my daughter for her honeymoon. That's their honeymoon trip. And I booked the same hotel because it looked like that. It looked like a honeymoon type mm-hmm. of place. Sure. And they will be definitely impressed with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Oh, yeah, they'll definitely be. I mean, lots of fountains and just all the little extra stuff. One of the things that impressed me with the, I guess with the room, but just the entire space, because in ours, one, it was a real long room, so you had a lot of space to begin with, big bathroom, big area, big canopy bed, and really felt like you had a living room, too, which, I mean, you did. You had a couch and all that, so, I mean, you just had an enormous amount of space there, but then when you went out the door, you had a small porch, which is typical for a hotel with some chairs, but then your private pool just stretched on for another 30, 40 feet, and then you had another little cabana on the other side of the pool that was yours with your private chairs and lounge chairs, and it was just, you just felt, just so much space. Usually you're in a hotel, you just feel cramped right. up there, you just could stretch out and do whatever, and just was, it was really nice, so it was well worth it, and it was certainly not out in the middle of anywhere, but it wasn't right in the middle of Fear. So we had to walk up a hill, probably a 5-10 minute yeah. walk maybe, but it wasn't bad. At first I thought it was going to be kind of troublesome, but once we did the walk once, it was like, well, no, you're there in a few minutes and no big deal.
Yeah.
So no,
now, guys.
Yes, sir.
You say you had a view. Did you have the view of the caldera, or did you have it from the back of the island?
The back.
Yeah. Yeah. The back of the
island. Yeah. It looked down over the valley and to the back. Whatever that is, bay or sea,
yeah,
or
right. It was really kind of cool though when you were in the pool, because of you're still on the hillside. It was before you get down to the flat areas. So when you're in there, it wasn't really an infinity pool, but you looked out and you just saw water.
You're basically up the hill from the airport. You're really yeah. it's down at the bottom, down yeah. by the ocean, down yeah. by the sea.
Yep. Yeah. So definitely, highly recommend the Astro Palace. And the what was the name of your boutique hotel again, Terry? I would repeat it because it sounds great, but I couldn't remember.
The Theoxenia Hotel.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. And then on the budget, we can go to Eric's. What was that?
Hotel Lignos.
Lignos. All right. Well, let's go into some of the day tours. There's lots of activities to do on Santorini, though it's a small island. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Among them is. Terry even mentioned one of the things that you can do for free is you can hike all the way from Fira to Iwa.
Ia.
Wow. Gets me every time. I say it about five different ways. Villages. So there's a hiking trail between those two villages. Also, there's various beaches there. It's volcanic, but I guess the rocks are different colors, so you have a red beach, a white beach, and a black beach, and I'm probably leaving another color out, but that I hear they're kind of rocky a little bit or small stone, but they are beautiful beaches there.
The color you left out is nude.
Nude. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Of course. Lishada.
Okay. So that's not just the type of beach, that's the actual name of the beach?
Well, that's why they were looking at Eric funny.
Oh, was he nude on the wrong beach?
Now,
wow. Silence. That was a little bit of awkward silence there. Sorry about that.
It was bad visual.
That's okay. And then there's ancient Thera, which has views and of the volcano and, of course, the sea, but also the ruins there that was wiped out during the explosion. So we didn't get to do those. We went by some of the beaches on a catamaran tour, and it sounds like Terry did part of the hike. Before I get into some of the day trips we did, Terry, what were some of the stuff that you all did?
Well, we also hit those beaches. The second day in, the day before, we contacted the hotel and asked him to arrange a convertible rental for us. So we decided to just tool around the island in a convertible. So the next morning, the guy brought it out. It was a bright red, brand new VW Beetle. And it was beautiful. It had 3,000 miles on it. And he kept on saying, please, please, take good care of my car.
So, you can tell by the look of you.
The first thing we do is go to a winery. But we did plan to hit up a couple wineries that day and hit the beaches. So we stopped at the first winery. I can't think of the name of it right off. But we said, okay, we can do a tasting here. We're going to take it easy. And we'll hit a couple more wineries and hit the beaches. Santo Wines is the name of the winery. S-A-N-T-O. So we go there for the tastings. And luckily we got there before the tour buses get in. And if you do these tours, that's something you have to think about, to beat the crowds before the boats come in and the day trippers come out and so on, and the buses come, because it gets extremely packed. But anyways, my buddies and I, we're the three of us there, and we said, okay, we'll just do one tasting. And the tasting is every wine that they sell.
That's one.
And that's more than three, I assume.
Yes. I'm looking at the picture here, and there's actually 18 glasses of wine they brought out in one tray.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah. And their tastings are different than our tastings. They bring everything out at one time. They give you a piece of paper, and you do it on your own. But these were not tasting size glasses of wine. They were full pours of wine.
I'm starting to worry about the Volkswagen.
Needless to say, we decided not to do any more wineries that day. We said, look, this is going to end up bad if we continue. So we had those 18 glasses of wine. We walked around the vineyard for a while, sobered up, and then we proceeded to just hit the Black Beach, the Red Beach. We had a tremendous grilled octopus, grilled squid, actually, meal along the Red Beach. And it was just a great day, just to rent a car. And
so was that just a restaurant along the beach that you stopped?
Yeah, it was just a little mom-and-pop place. Mm-hmm. I can't find it right now. Here it is. It is Melina's, M-E-L-I. That's either a H-A or N-A. I can't figure out how they're spelling that. It's a fish tavern right along the beach. It was just an incredible little place. We went in the first week of April, so there's only one other couple there at the restaurant. It's all season. We basically had the whole south side of the island to ourselves.
Nice. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
On our tours, the first thing we did was it was a combo tour. It was a day trip where we went to the Akatiri ruins and archaeological site, which was fantastic. And then that followed up with a wine tour to three different vineyards. And for the most part, we had the same guy leading the tour. He dropped us off at Akatiri, which was incredible. If you can do that, it's great. This was sort of a Pompeii situation where the volcano erupted, and when the ash settled and everything, it kind of left everything in place like it was 5,000 years ago. And they've been digging it out. The area they had didn't actually have it under roof, so you go inside, but then it's the dig. And it's an ongoing dig. It's only about 10% of the whole city of Akatiri or village of Akatiri there, but they carve things out. They're showing you some original pots and all that were there from then. One of the neatest things that I found in that thing, and of course we come from West Virginia where running water and outhouses are still not totally a thing of the past, but on the third floor, either second or third floor of the house that they were showing us at the time, they actually had an indoor toilet with running plumbing on the third floor. Obviously, it was somebody that had some money at that time or whatever, but to have the technology at 5,000 BC to have a running, functioning toilet was pretty incredible. So it was a pretty amazing site. There's a lot of other stuff. What were your all's takes on that?
Yeah, they're discovering this city from the top down, obviously, and it's either three or four stories tall, a lot of it. So they're uncovering it from the roof down to the footers, and it's kind of incredible to see unfold. Unfortunately, they don't have enough money to continue the dig. It's kind of a bad situation.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome, though. Yeah. I mean, the just to kind of see some of the cool stuff from that long ago and just realize that, you know, there was Dark Ages, you know, yeah. but some of that stuff existed way before. And all these people thinking they're inventing something like, dude, we did that thousands of years ago.
Right. Right. So. Just didn't put a patent on it. So from there, like I said, we had there was a part of the same tour. And we actually had a sommelier who was our leader, and we went to the first vineyard. What was interesting is we came through the vineyard grounds. Here we're thinking of the grapevines and up on the rails and the lines and spread out up, you know, coming up from the ground and off the ground, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 feet. These look like little cabbage patches. Mm-hmm. So they're down on the ground in these little round, you know, a round circle of dirt.
Like a nest.
Yeah, like a nest on the ground. And even though it's Santorini is surrounded by water, it is very arid and dry. It rarely gets rain. Mm-hmm. So the reason they keep them in a nest like is in the morning mist and dew is how it collects water to feed itself. Mm-hmm. And that by that arrangement allows water to accumulate or condensation to accumulate and feed itself. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and also it would protect against all the wind.
Correct.
Right. Because the winds would tear the traditional vines and the wiring up because it's pretty windy out there.
So our sommelier was Angela, right?
That's right.
Angela, and it was the Santorini Wine Adventure. So I know that'd be
it was impressive. A good one. It was a real good
He was awesome.
He was very knowledgeable. Awesome. A lot of good pairings as far as teaching us acid versus, you know, sweet and mm-hmm. things like that, and purposely combining wines with bad, you know,
with
bad
food that didn't. Yeah.
To teach you how to mm-hmm. pair it with good foods. I really learned a lot on that.
I remember asking a question like, so how did you really get exposure to say, I know that didn't taste good with this? He's like, you'd be surprised what I had to eat and put in my mouth. I was like, ugh. But yeah, he was good though.
He was fantastic.
So was he part of like a franchise or a group of some sort?
He was just one of the tour guys of for this
company that does.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, gotcha. But he is a trained sommelier. Yeah.
Right. I was going to say, he is a certified or trained or whatever the mm-hmm. proper credentials are for
a
sommelier.
Level 2, I think. Mm-hmm. He knew his stuff.
Yeah. It was really good. And we ended up going to a total of 3 vineyards. Mm-hmm. The second one overlooked. Is that considered the Caldera?
That's the Caldera, yeah. That was Santo Wines.
Okay, so that was Santo's Wines. Mm-hmm. And just beautiful.
That's the one we went to.
Is it?
Oh, yes.
Cool. Yeah, great view. And again, it cracked me up because the difference between most European countries or pretty much anywhere else in the world in America, there would be 25,000 lawsuits for this place. I mean, it's literally a curb height, you know, 4 or 5 inches, and then it's down the cliff to the Caldera. Yeah. So I'm like, I know, let's open a winery right on the cliff.
Right on the edge.
And not put any fencing up. Perfect.
Made it nice.
Spectacular views, though, right, Terry?
Wow.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah. Is that where you did the 18 glasses?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So we sat at the same place, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. We didn't have 18.
No, we didn't.
I feel like a slacker.
We probably did throughout the whole day, though.
Okay.
That could be. Absolutely. Yep. So so that was one of our day trips. The next day, we actually went on a sunset catamaran cruise. Now, keep in mind, sunset at that time of year was 8:30 or 9, maybe? Maybe yeah, probably later. 9. Probably 9-ish. And it started at 3 or 3:30. So,
and we were there till sunset.
We were definitely there till sunset. They grilled for us. They had beer, wine for us the whole time.
Music.
I mean, it was a really nice setup and a nice cruise. Of course, we went around.
To the tip. You go up to the tip of the...
Right.
There's a name for it. But, yeah, the tip.
Right. So, but we got to do a lot of other stuff. So, not only did we provide all that, we're seeing some fantastic views of everything, little churches up on the cliffs and some great rock... rock features sticking out, but we also got to go snorkeling, or if you wanted to, or got to go swimming. So they anchored, And Tony had just gotten a GoPro. I think it was GoPro 7.
Yep, it was the 7 Hero.
And which is waterproof and all. So he dove in with that, got some great pictures of little fishes underneath the water and whatever else was down there, and just made for some interesting videos. So we got to swim for a while, got to refresh ourselves. And then we went a little bit further, and there's a hot springs, but it's a sulfur spring. So it's, supposed to be medicinal and all this type of stuff. And a lot of the other catamarans were there. So you had all these different boats kind of anchored there, and then you would swim over. And prior to jumping in and all, the crew is telling you, okay, when you get there, it's going to be extremely muddy. Some people like to get the mud all over them, like a mud bath type of thing. Said, don't do that. It's very difficult to get off, and we do not want you getting on our boat with all that mud. It was a brand new boat, and they did not want us getting on there. But where we were anchored, you're looking, and they keep pointing over to the land, and you see the land. It looks like it's 50 yards away, which that it was, but that's not where the springs was. So, you jump in, you're swimming over there, and you think, okay, 50 yards is not that big a deal. But then you had to make a left, go another 50, 75 yards, then a right, and another 50, 75 yards. All of a sudden, it's become a heck of a swim.
Yeah.
And the places were shallow, the rocks were very jagged and sharp, so it wasn't necessarily comfortable when you weren't treading water. But we did eventually get up to the springs, and it was kind of cold just before you got there. And then when you got into it, it was warmer and really, and did have the ground or the base of it, instead of sand, was this mud. So it was kind of a weird stuff that your feet are going through and all that. So we get up, there's other groups there, and there's this one big guy, and he was just wallowing in the mud. He came up, and he was totally brown from head to toe. And we're just like, oh, dude. So, anyhow, it was pretty cool, though. What were some of your all thoughts there at the springs?
I remember just jumping in, and, again, not only was there, you've been drinking wine for several hours now, but I'm jumping in. There's no life jackets. And I'm also carrying a GoPro, so I'm doing it with like one arm. And I'm like, wow, that is a long way to swim with just one arm. Mm-hmm. I was like, hopefully I make it. I'm good.
And I wasn't too worried till on the way back. Now, on the way back, there was another boat. It wasn't a catamaran, and you had a bunch of people in there. And as we find in almost every country we go to, they started singing Country Roads. I mean, we're in the middle of the Aegean Sea in this little bay alcove, and you got a boat full of people singing Almost Heaven, West Virginia. So anyhow, that inspired me to make it back to the boat. But I had it wasn't the same fear. I wasn't carrying anything, but I'm swimming over there, and then for whatever reason, a little wave or something catches me right in the face and goes down my throat. And each time I come up to try to take a big breath and cough it out, I get hit again. I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm 20 yards from the boat. And I'm going to swallow a bunch of waters and sink. Anyhow.
You made it.
I did make it. But anyhow, it was a great experience. And then when we eventually did get to the sunsets, I mean, it was really incredible sunsets. And
how long was great pictures. How long was the cruise in total? How many hours were you out there?
5-6 hours?
At least 6 hours, maybe a little longer.
I think you really kind of lost track of time.
I think they picked us up at 2, and then it was a van to take us down to the dock, and then we were out by like 3:30, and again, sunsets
until dark, so it was 9:30 by the time we got back, and so it was a long day.
Wow.
And definitely, it was well worth whatever. Absolutely. We didn't pay that much. It was well worth whatever we paid.
Absolutely.
So highly recommended. I know we booked through Viator, and I went back to look for that, and I couldn't find the act because there's a lot of different cruises there,
right.
And I'm not sure what the actual name of the tour operator. Mm-hmm. I apologize for that, but anyhow. So lots of day trips, but those were some of the ones we enjoyed.
Anybody hike up to the monastery?
Well, it's not really. I wouldn't call that a hike. From where we were,
you talking about the blue with the crosses on it and all that, Brian?
Right, I was just this was in Thera. Mm-hmm. you know, to climb up to see ancient Thera, or it just says more ambitiously the monastery. So it sounded like that might be a kind of a bit more of a hike.
We saw to get all the way like up that to the on views. One of the islands. What was it, Tony? Was that a monastery?
He's talking about right there in Thera. I don't recall doing anything like that. Did you do that, Terry?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
They were not open to the public when we went there, but we could spy through the windows, and it looked very beautiful.
Just like the old days, right?
Yes.
Or maybe not so old. I don't know.
There's also a trip to the volcano cone that's in the middle of the caldera. That's what we did, which is another option if anybody wants to do something like that.
Oh, wow.
Nice. And how was that?
It was great. It's about 400 feet high above sea level, and yeah, that cone is still growing. The volcano, I guess, is considered still active, so the volcano cone in the middle of the island or the caldera is still growing. But at the time, it was 400 feet. There's no vegetation on the island; it's just lava rock, some shrubbery or whatnot. You see the sulfur fumes coming up out of the ground. You can definitely feel the earth beneath you at least
rumble
10 degrees warmer.
Oh, warmer.
In the surrounding.
Cool.
So it's very cool. The island's very small, but from that island, you get the view of all of Santorini, which is a pretty nice experience.
Did you bring any volcanic ash or anything back with you, Terry?
Just in his lungs.
Illegal.
Oh, it is.
We do have a friend that does do stuff like that.
I was going to say.
I brought some pumice home.
I think
they sell that.
If you do that at the airport, you could get in a lot of trouble.
They were really little pieces of pumice. I mean, really, almost really little.
That's pretty funny. Did you go over to Ia, Terry?
Yes. Okay. We rented a taxi, and we went there for the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. That's always one of the top 10 sunsets in the world. If you Google that, it pops up. Mm-hmm. Did you guys do that also? Or you saw it for the boat?
Yeah. And I was going to say, that was just one of the just travel recommendations I was going to make is we decided to do the bus because it was really inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
But note to self, if you're in a rush,
right,
don't take the bus.
Take the taxi.
Take the taxi. And they were charging out the wazoo on the way back from Ia. Mm. Because the line, we got there just in time. Because we got there, we ended up waiting about 45 minutes for the next bus. There must have been, 200 people behind us?
It was. Mm-hmm. It packed up quick. It was hot. It was the afternoon, and people wanted to get back.
But, and when most people think of Santorini and they think of sunsets, it's the village of Ia is what they see. That's where you see those speckled blue domes and, you know, that gorgeous... gorgeous sunset. But I got some fantastic pictures from, you know, that very bottom corner where the sun sets, and just again, spectacular. And we got also there are a couple little shops. Mm-hmm. I got a canvas and another painting that's in the house from there.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, nope, absolutely.
Some but I would say from there. A travel time frame, because Terry, you guys were also in May, weren't you, when you went?
Yeah, we went 1st of April.
Okay.
We did it because it was cheaper then, and there would be less crowds. But we didn't get to have use of the pools or whatnot. But you got to balance out which one you want to do the most.
Yeah, we kind of did the same thing in that we didn't want to. We wanted it to be warm because we wanted to be able to get in the water, but we also didn't want there to be a gazillion people. And kind of that last part of May. And then, again, kind of the shoulder seasons. And then that September time frame was good. But I remember being in Ia, and again, it's smaller than Thera as far as, like, the little walkways and the alleyways. And in May, it was packed.
It was.
And it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I couldn't imagine being on these sidewalks in middle of July when it's 10 degrees warmer and there's three times as many people. So,
I mean, speaking of Ia. We were there. I might have mentioned this to you guys before, and we've talked about meeting people from your same country or same state or whatnot all over the world. We were looking for the Atlantis bookstore in Ia on the way to the sunset. that was one of the top 10 bookstores in the world, if you Google some sites, due to the views or whatnot. So I really wanted to see this Atlantis bookstore. But we did not find it on the way through town the first time to go see the sunset. So we thought, well, damn, we're going to miss out. But walking right back through the town on the way back, John pointed out, say, Terry, is this a bookstore you wanted to see? I said, oh, yes, it is. We got to go in. So we go inside, and there's an older couple with their two college-age daughters sitting there. Americans, you could tell. And that was it. There was nobody else in the bookstore. The lady behind the counter is very nice. And they serve food and drink there, too. So this family was having a little dinner. And while we were looking around, we started overhearing them saying they lived in Baltimore. So I'd say, well, at the time I was living in Hagerstown, Maryland, which is, for those that don't know, about 60 miles away from Baltimore. So, we're all from a small town in West Virginia called Shepherdstown. And sure enough, they said, we know Shepherdstown. We go to the Mecklenburg Inn. We're there visiting friends.
Nice.
So, here we are a third of the world away. We find people that go to our hometown. And if we would have found the Atlantis bookstore the first time through, we probably never would have met this family on the way back through town. So I just thought that was a little neat.
That is. Yeah, and yeah. To give the listeners a little bit of, I guess, sense of where we are, we're doing this podcast. And if you walk out our front door across the street, that's the Mecklenburg Inn.
Yep. Stone's throw away.
Literally.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Mecklenburg Inn, why don't we talk about some of the wining and dining in Santorini? Terry, did you all have any restaurants or you mentioned one at the Red Beach, but any other restaurants that stood out to you all while you were there, dining experiences?
Not really, Jim. We stopped at a little roadside stand twice, a nondescript place. And a couple of restaurants with a view, but we just wandered around and we see a place, we just popped in for food.
Well, and that's one of the nice things about Santorini itself. You almost never have a bad view if you're in the right area, and there's a ton of places to get great seafood and all, so it's kind of hard to go wrong. Now, we had booked a reservation. I think Shelley had looked it up and found this restaurant. It was a place called Volcano Blue. And this was the first full night we had been there. And we get there, and it's overlooking the cliffs, I guess you'd say, and the caldera and the water. And it just ended up being a fantastic experience. What were your all thoughts on Volcano Blue?
Yeah, just the two things that stood out to me other than the gorgeous views the whole time you're sitting there. It was a little hazy that day, but still. I mean, just unbelievable. But the food, I think we talked about this a little bit before, because that meal is just one of those top meals that I've had. And I know Eric and I both took a video because I got just like the fresh fish of the day, and they just brought it out and filleted it for me right at table side, and deboned it and everything and just served it on the plate. And it was as good as the presentation was. So it was... And again, I think we were there for 3 hours.
Yeah, we were there through sunset.
Yeah. It was dark when we left after we had desserts and everything. But yeah, it was a great, great evening. Yeah.
Now I had a seafood salad, and when they brought the plate down, I've got pictures of it, and I think it's even been on the website before, you didn't see any lettuce. It was full of squid and scallops and fish and all kinds of different seafood. And it was just, and it tasted just as good as it looked. It was absolutely incredible. There may have been some lettuce underneath all that seafood, but it was incredible. But just everything, the ambiance, obviously you got the beauty of the sunset and the water, and then you got the great food. I mean, it was just an incredible experience all the way around. And then as far as we stopped in a few other places and they were good, but it's like Terry, you could pop in and out different places. Some other places we had thought about going, there's a place called 1800, and it's an old captain's house from 1845, and it's located in Ia, and it has all the original furnishings and colors from the 1800s, and it's got a rooftop terrace, and we wanted to get there, but we just never quite got there. But if you ever get a chance, 1800's another good place to go for dining. What about, we've talked about dining a little bit. What about the wine and dine part of that? Not counting the wine tours. Terry, did y'all have any cool bars or experiences that that you found that were good hangouts?
Not really, Jim. Being the 1st of April, like I said, I'd say half the places were closed. Being all season. So there was not a whole lot of options for us in terms for that.
Interesting. Well, there's a couple places, and we're going to get to a little jazz bar here in a second that we really liked. But there's another place called PK Cocktail Bar. It's year-round. Mm-hmm. It's family-owned. Incredible views, but they come up with some pretty wild cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out looking for a place, that's a good location to go. Tony, you know any more about that?
Not that one. I was going to mention that saloon bar too.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
just kind of
so. So with all of these that you're talking about within walking distance of your hotel?
Oh yeah, yeah. This is all in the,
everything's within walking.
Yeah. That top of the hill. So like where Terry was at, it's that whole Fear era where, and then that Donkey Street, literally is Donkey Street that leads down through there and all along the Caldera side, but all kinds of little side streets. But that whole general area is full of food, shops. I mean, great shopping. Mm-hmm. I mean, just absolute great shopping. If you like linen clothes and kind of that summery island wear, man, you can find some. We spent 4 or 5 hours at one day shopping. Mm-hmm. So
jewelry.
Yeah. But the saloon bar, I just thought was quirky because when you hear saloon, you're thinking more of kind of a true country western, you know, saloon. And that's the case on the first floor. But I remember the second floor was a full-on dance club. I mean, it was just so bizarre. Downstairs, you got the saloon doors and everything up. Then you go upstairs, and it's just unta, 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 well, right? It was crazy.
It was crazy. Plus, we go in there. We'd already been out for dinner and all and already had a cocktail, an evening cocktail, so to speak. And then the wives were ready to go in, so we walked them down, and we decided to come back out. And the downstairs part of the saloon, there's a few people there. You could kind of hear music in the background, but it wasn't that crowded. But then you kind of knew something was going upstairs. So we walk up this tight spiral staircase, and then the door in, and then you couldn't move. You couldn't walk in the door there without having to you know, work your way through and all. And then it's like Terry or Tony said, the electric music and all that. And it was just wall-to-wall people. You couldn't move, just a sweat box.
It's not where I met my dance partners, is it?
No, oh. That was later.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow, but that as we came back there, well, let me back up. After we had that nice dinner at Volcano Blue, and we walked around, we walked the steps up to the top of Fira there, which was alongside the cliff, and it was nighttime, so all the lights of the cruise ships and all the lights looking back across Fira itself was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, being everything black except for the different color lights. So you get all the way to the top, and then you kind of start working your way back. There's different shops and all that type of stuff. So we didn't really have a plan to go anywhere, but as we're winding our way back through these little streets, we hear, you know, a little bit of music, sound like a little bit of excitement, and it was just a small jazz bar. We're like, well, that sounds like a cool place. Let's go check this out. And it was a tiny little place. We barely found a table that could seat all five of us, and we were booked off in the corner. And anyhow, we got a place, and the waitress was real friendly. The bartender seemed real friendly, too. Kind of hyper, but friendly. But they served us. We had a great time. The girls had a good time and had a few drinks. And it was just a really cool atmosphere.
Yeah, that place was pretty cool.
So we head out. Like I said, we go back. And then us guys thought, well, you know, we can stand another drink or two. So we go to the saloon and hung out there for a while. Had a really good time. But now it's getting kind of late. I mean, we dropped the girls off at 11:30. So it was already late. But then when you come back and then have a few more, it doesn't take long before it gets late. And so we're cruising through, back through Fear to find some place. We found some dance clubs for Eric to dance with some people. That went real well.
They didn't like my dancing.
To say the least.
But damn, was it fun.
It was fun or funny or both.
It was entertaining, for sure.
So now we're definitely should be home and in bed and all that, and we're walking down, and we end up going by the jazz bar, and it's still open. So, what's one more? So we go in there, and they lit up and saw us. The same waitress, same bartender, and I don't know if he was the owner too or or just the bartender, but I mean, he just welcomed us like, mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't have a better welcome. So mm-hmm. it was just one of those things. Now there's only like 5 other people in there and us. Mm-hmm. So it just made for a really good time being welcome in there. Any other thoughts from you all on that, on the jazz bar?
No, other than I highly suggest it. I mean, it's a great, great, cool place to go and hang out and have a drink or two.
Good atmosphere, good drinks, and good music. Yep. You don't in a great location.
Yeah.
Well, weren't you helping her pick some of the music?
I ended. Yes, I did. She showed me her collection.
Nice.
Of music.
So, Jim Scott, what mm-hmm. you're saying is always go for the nightcap.
Yeah, always.
I don't discourage that.
All right.
So there's lots of other good bars around the town in Ewa. There's this Ewa Vineyard. It's actually a holistic wine experience. It's an old traditional home, and they have an old and still intact grape press and underground wine cellars and courtyards that makes for a real nice. You can see the sunsets. It just makes for a really nice experience there mm-hmm. as well. So there's a beach bar called Catharo's Lounge in Ewa, which is more for beer lovers, but it's a secluded beach bar with local brews and once again, watching the sunset. So there's lots of cool places if you want to have a libation or two while you're in Santorini. So anything else on Wine and Dine? Did I forget any places you all would like to mention?
Not that I can think of. I mean, again, it's like one of those things. You stop in several places, and they kind of blur together, and I hate to say that, but they're all kind of great through that mm-hmm. whole area up there. So.
Yeah, the food was generally good everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it nice.
Food was good, right?
Yeah, when you have an area like that, it doesn't matter. You know you're probably going to get good food no matter where you go. I know when we were in Ia, and it was just lunchtime, we were just trying to find a place, but it was more of a cafeteria-style place, but it was decent, mm-hmm. and you had a heck of a view of the water and everything else, and it was kind of cafeteria-style, but food was fine and all that. So it's hard to go wrong in a place like that. Even if the food tastes bad, I mean, you got great views and in a great climate, so it's hard to do wrong there.
Yeah, even we stopped at some corner little place and got gelatos.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Inexpensive as can be, but there was something kind of cool about walk along the top of that street just down from where Terry's hotel was, and you're walking down and you're looking over the Cadera. The sun's starting to set, and the gelato tastes a lot better that way. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
It's pretty good. My mouth's watering. Well, for the most part, that wraps up Santorini. I do want to say, because we exited by the airport, we flew out even though we took a ferry. And the airport is under total reconstruction. There's obviously a lot more flights coming in and out, and they definitely need the expansion. But that was a unique, very small airport that was like being herded like cattle to get your flight and whatever. And just interesting. Do y'all have any thoughts on the airport?
No, I just booked all of this all over again for my daughter and her fiance will be your husband, and I had to book those little jumper flights. And I used, just FYI out there, I used Kayak for everything. Mm-hmm. It seemed to work well, and it works well for me. And I got pretty good rates. And I just booked those jumper flights maybe a week ago.
Nice.
So I'm finally finished with their entire trip, right, except for a few little things.
Well, and hopefully by October, they won't have any problems going.
I really hope they can
Did
go
they allow for you for a cancellation on those if you have to?
Yes, they did. Okay. Yes, they did.
Now, supposedly, and I haven't checked, it was supposed to be done this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the whole COVID thing has put them on delay, but, I mean, it was a huge expansion. It was over 100% increase in, you know, square footage. I mean, I think the security lines went from like 2 to 8.
All the airport.
There was an increase in departure gates. I mean, everything. It was just literally like doubling the size of the airport.
Yeah, I think they probably got a few more airlines to fly in and out there. Aegean, Olympic, a couple of the others. Mm-hmm. There were very few. I mean, maybe a handful. Now there might be a dozen. I don't know. Terry, you know anything on that?
No. Aegean and Olympic, they are the Greek airline, so right. They always flew in there. But as for the other ones, Eric, I couldn't really tell you.
I think they're allowing more.
Yeah, that was the whole idea with the expansion is to have room for other airlines to come in. So,
I mean, they definitely had flights rolling one after the other, and that's why it was crowded. And you just had to sort of roll through, like I said, like a cow line, and you were always packed. But you eventually got there, and there wasn't a threat to miss the flight, but there wasn't any place to stretch out either. Everybody was just in the same room.
When I flew out, I was actually – I went to the airport with you guys. You all flew out like 2 hours ahead of me. I had to stay there 2 hours be in that airport and kind of catch up to you.
You did?
I think I did, didn't I?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, because I remember we met at the hotel, and we had a hard time finding that hotel on once we got back to Athens.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
All right. It can be a clusterfuck.
It can be. Literally. It can be. And it's weird because it's really small. There's nowhere you can go. It's just you have to wait for the flight to – and they operate pretty regularly. You know, it's just –
just don't stress it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's important because if you look at it, it could look stressing because it's like they make a call to flight 737 at gate A. Well, there's only eight gate A and gate B. And there's a slam of people and you can't get through and you can't move. But somehow it opens up and the people that need to get through do. And
they're not going to leave without you. That's right. The one thing, right?
Yeah, and these are usually the aircraft.
That's what they say.
You get on. You usually get on these aircraft outdoors and up the stairs. Yeah.
Yeah, this one, I remember, there's a nice little walk to get through. But
And a lot of that was through construction and everything else to get out to the airplane itself.
So. Well, I don't know about you guys. I'm ready to book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Terry, you want to go to Greece?
Sure.
I tell you, people out there listening, if you ever wanted to go to a destination like that, now would be the time to book it.
Well, I was saying that because didn't they just announce that they're opening the doors, they're ready to take people?
They're opening up in June. I don't know how that is for people coming in and all that, but Greece is ready to open up. So.
Well, I will say this. The flights that I booked for my daughter and her fiance, they did get a notice saying that they're going through Frankfurt now. So we had talked about that earlier. It looks like they are taking steps to keep these flights together and going, you know, at this time. So that's a good sign for them anyway.
It is.
And everyone else traveling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Terry, I don't know if you saw. I mean, I don't want to get too sidetracked there, Jim. I know you're trying to wrap up, but we were talking about, Europe opening up. And it looks like a lot of them are trying to open up in June, which surprised me to hear that just here in the last week. So
yeah, hopefully that means that the U.S. will be on their list that can come in without going into quarantine, and that'll be a big help. And then it's, will the U.S. let us back in without quarantine? So that'll probably be the biggest question after Europe opens up. But anyhow, interesting times, crazy times.
Yep.
Well, I think that wraps it up on Santorini. Any other thoughts that we've left out, guys? Anything?
No, other than you should go. I really do think there's, not that every place in the world isn't on our list and want to go back multiple times, but that is one of those places to me that is kind of a bucket list is the Greek islands and it's hard to go to the Greek islands without seeing Santorini. So
right.
Sounds absolutely. Like April is a good time to go. Less crowds. May is definitely April, a good time to go. Superb weather. Mm-hmm. A little more crowded in May. Mm-hmm. And as you get on in summer, it'll definitely get more crowded.
Yep, absolutely. So Santorini, you go there, you can't go wrong. It would be a great time. Anyhow, thanks for listening. This is Friends of Carry On. Catch us at friendsofcarryon.com and all the social media things. And we look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Arrivederci.
Be sure to join the Friends next week for another great discussion. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. You can also find the Friends and other content at www.friendsatcarryon.com or check us out on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook by searching Friends at Carry On. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to carry on, friends.